Good Sunday morning to each of you here at Christian Believers of Donaldson. Good morning to those who might be joining in virtually as well. Good Sunday morning to each of you. What a privilege it is for us to be able to freely gather together intentionally on purpose to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for us, to be taught from his word, to worship together, to pray together, to enjoy sweet fellowship together. We count it a privilege to be with you. My wife, Katie, is with us. Our son, Jonathan David, is here as well. Our daughter, Anna Catherine, not in that order. Anna Kate is 15. Johnny is 13. And we are involved at Horton Haven Christian Camp. We're excited to begin another teen camp. I was reminiscing a little bit on the way down. In the late 80s, if you can recall, the late 80s, I know some of you cannot, but some of us can. The late 80s, I started to be to get involved at Horton Haven Christian Camp. Long story of how I got connected with Horton Haven, but such an honor and privilege to be involved in that ministry from the late 80s until now. I have not missed a summer yet. One summer, I was just there for a week, but nevertheless, was represented that summer. So we're connected heavily to Horton Haven Christian Camp. We're thrilled to be back for teen camp this particular week. We want to pause and just say thank you. It's appropriate for us just to pause and express our gratitude. Many of you know, perhaps not all of you, so I'll just briefly mention about 11 months or so ago, I became pretty sick with the virus you're familiar with and spent about 3 weeks in the hospital in Kentucky on my way home from camp ministry. So it's a little strange to think about what this summer might hold as we begin camp ministry. But as I was traveling home from camp, I stopped in Paducah not feeling well and having tested positive for the virus, and was planning to gradually go home in quarantine-like fashion, but ended up getting too sick to be able to head home. And so I spent about 3 weeks in the hospital in Kentucky. My wife, Katie, was able to come down and remarkably spend a fair amount of time with me. I don't remember most of it, but she was able to spend a lot of time with me in the hospital. And you all here at Christian Believers were of great care and support to us in so many ways. Through prayer, through texting and phone calls, you all put together an amazing care package intended specifically and appropriately for my wife, who was spending days at the hotel near the hospital. And when I was able to understand things, and it took me a while, still seems like I'm struggling with that, Katie was able to tell me all the different people that reached out and were of encouragement along the way, and that care package was so special to us, and we wanted to express our gratitude. We are so very thankful. I would say I'm still recovering from my bout with the virus. I'm about 85%. I still get weary and tired in a different way than I did prior to COVID. I still get quite worn out by the end of the day. So pray for us this week at camp. The humidity and heat offers an additional challenge for me, so I'd appreciate you praying in that regard. I still use oxygen at night. My lungs are still recovering, and so because of that, when I'm at rest, my lungs don't function well enough to be off oxygen yet, just a little bit, so we don't leave home without that equipment, and that's still part of our reality as well. So pray for us this week. We're thrilled to be able to be back, to be involved in camp ministry with which we love, at a special place, as I mentioned, a place that has been near and dear to my heart since the late 80s and to Katie's heart. Long story, won't be told now, but we kind of began our courtship through the ministry of Horton Haven. Katie was there in 2003 doing her internship, and we were able to serve there together, and 6 months later decided to serve together for the rest of our days. So Horton Haven means a lot to us. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. And as you're turning to Lamentations chapter 3, allow me to reminisce a bit more with you. As I mentioned, I started coming to Middle Tennessee. Miss Teresa remembers the first time I came and gave me some encouragement that I still have from those early days. I went to Dallas Seminary after attending Emmaus Bible College, and after graduating in 1994 from Dallas Seminary, I moved to Murfreesboro. Got to know one of the assemblies that was involved at the camp. The camp was ultimately my connection, Horton Haven, and served for years at College Heights Chapel, which is now New Heights Chapel. But in the early 1990s, 1994, as I was graduating from seminary, there was a song that came out, a contemporary Christian song that perhaps some of you know, written by a lady who lives not too terribly far away in Franklin, Tennessee. The words of the song go like this: "We believe in God, and we all need Jesus. Because life is hard, and it might not get easier. We believe in God, and we all need Jesus. Because life is hard, and it might not get easier." That lyric, those words are words that echo what the Word of God tells us. Inspired of God, not of Amy Grant, but inspired of God, that life indeed is hard and might not get easier. Have you thought about that lately? As we look around and we consider every aspect of life, spiritually, physically, economically, you'd be shocked. You wouldn't be, but the price of gas driving down, we were taken aback. Got a little cheaper once we got in this area, for which we're thankful. But we're living in difficult days. Conflict internationally, pandemics all around, all kinds of natural disasters. And Scripture warns us of this. Who does? Who warns us of the fact that we are in the last days? The Lord Jesus spoke often about the last days in Jude, we're reminded of that. In 2 Peter, we're reminded of that. Timothy reminds Paul of that. Or Paul, excuse me, reminds Timothy of that. That we are living in the last days. When you hear that expression, last days, don't think few, just a couple of days, but do think final. We are in the last days. And there's evidence all around us. And the Word of God teaches us that it's not going to get better. Isn't that encouraging? It's not going to get better until what the Lord has next in store for us is ushered in. And so life is hard, and it might not get easier. And so I ask you this question this very morning. What do you do? How do we respond biblically to difficult days? This theme has been on my mind long before I got sick. The reality of the difficulty of life, that life is hard and it might not get easier, that the Word of God warns us and tells us that in the last days, difficult times will come. We're in those difficult times. And we can see those difficulties all around us. So I'm so very thankful, aren't you, for examples in the Scripture, passages and people that we have recorded in God's Word that help us to know how to respond. They teach us how to respond, but they also live out that response and have done so. leaving for us an example of how we deal with difficult days. How do we respond when life is hard and might not get easier? When you think of Lamentations, what do you think of? When you think of a lament, what comes to mind? Typically, and it doesn't always happen this way for the author of Lamentations, but typically a lament goes like this. The individual, the one who is lamenting, cries out, often cries out aloud, expresses their heartache, their frustration, their difficulty, their sorrow, their pain, their trouble, their suffering, their adversity. They cry out to the Almighty, and they err, they supplicate, they lament before Him. Have you ever done that, by the way? It's a very healthy and biblical and appropriate thing to do, that when life is hard and might not get easier, we should indeed cry out and express to the one who knows, cares, and rules our very and specific struggle and difficulty. And so a lament typically takes that form. Crying out to God, expressing the difficulty, the heartache, the struggle. But as we do so, and as those who are lamenting have done so in the pages of Scripture, we see this pattern, this shift, that in the middle of the lament, often, not always, the one lamenting recognizes, realizing who they are talking to, what he is like, what he has promised, and they receive comfort, and they receive help, and they receive promise, reminder, anew and afresh, of who God is and what He is like, and therefore the ability to move forward in and through the heartache and adversity. When you think of Lamentations, who do we acknowledge as the author of the book of Lamentations? Who has another prophetic writing as well. Who comes to mind? Who's lamenting here?
Jeremiah.
And I ask you specifically, when you think of Jeremiah, what do you think of? The weeping prophet. I thought some of you might say a bullfrog. I know some of you might have gone there in your thinking, but we should think of the weeping prophet. Why is he known as the weeping prophet? I love Jeremiah. If there was a top 10 of prophets, Jeremiah would be high on everybody's list. He's known as the weeping prophet because he uniquely shares with us not only his prophetic ministry, but also his personal struggle. We know more personally about Jeremiah than we do any other prophet, because he shared with us in the revealed truth of God's word, not only what God had asked him to do, his prophetic ministry, commanded him to say. Be great to look at the call of Jeremiah in chapter 1. We won't do so today. The person of Jeremiah. He records for us not only his prophetic ministry, but also his personal struggle. Lament after lament. Sometime look at Jeremiah chapter 20. It's a lament that does not take typical form. But Jeremiah laments before us honestly about the grand heartaches we encounter when we're purposing to do what God has called us to do. When we're purposing to be what God calls us to be. We find ourselves in Jeremiah chapter 3 at the end of one of his laments. He summarizes his lament in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 3. This is a familiar passage, I know, to many of you. It has been a familiar passage for me as well, but I'll say to you this, that in and through the midst of heartache and difficulty over the last couple of years, the last 11 months especially, this has been, and other passages like it, have been of such comfort to us in a very special way. So I share that with you as we look at this passage through that lens. As we look at how Jeremiah summarizes his circumstances, I wonder if we can in any way, shape, or form relate. In light of the fact that we are living in the last days, that life is hard and might not get easier, can we relate to anything Jeremiah says here? Notice he says in verse 17, "And my soul." I don't know if you're someone who circles things in your Bible or underlines. Some will never do so. Some love to do so. And either is just fine. But notice, if you will, that the word soul is mentioned numerous times in our text today. Jeremiah is talking about his entire person and being. His intellect, his emotion, and his will is represented when he says the word soul. His entire person and being is being referenced here in verse 17 and following when he uses the word soul. He honestly is pouring out his struggle to us and says, "My entire person and being, my soul has been rejected," he says. And he identifies in summary of this lament in chapter 3, verses 1 through 18, he summarizes his lament by saying, "I'm lacking four things right now. There are four things that I have been rejected from, or I don't have, that I wish I had, but life is so incredibly hard right now, I don't have these four things." Listen to the four things that he highlights and ask and answer this question. Can we relate? Can we say similar things? And allow me to say, as a quick aside, what Jeremiah went through is far more difficult and painful than what most of us will ever go through. Bear that in mind. Jeremiah says, "My soul, my entire person and being has first been rejected from peace." Peace. As we look around, do we realize and recognize that it seems to be lacking, this idea of peace? And yet, we can, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can, as believers, confidently, because of who he is and what he has done, say that regardless of circumstances, we can have peace. I love the book of Philippians. As Dave mentioned, the staff went through Philippians this past week. And in chapter 4, it reminds us that we can have this peace that surpasses our comprehension and understanding. A peace that will guard our minds, how we think, and our hearts, how we feel. We're offered, and we can have, regardless of circumstances, peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 3 and 4. There's a concept that I love found there, that we can have something known as perfect peace. We sing a great hymn that has that phrase, "Like a river glorious," right? "Stayed upon Jehovah," we sing. Hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised what? Perfect peace and rest. And so for a believer, for those who have trusted in Christ, we understand and know that we can have peace with God and we can have peace from God. It's something that we are promised. The God of peace, I love how it's stated in Philippians 4, the God of peace offers us the peace of God. And so in the midst of it, we can have it. And you have heard expressions, and we have said it as a family, and you know of many others, and you have probably said it as well. I have this peace, regardless of circumstances. I am at peace, perfect peace. And yet the weeping prophet Jeremiah, who understood that concept, understood that God is a God of plan, purpose, and promise, says, right now, I don't have it. Life is so hard and so difficult, and I'm going through it to the extent that my soul, my very person and being, is without it, he says. It's been rejected from peace. He begins with that concept of peace. Secondly, he moves on in the end of verse 17, and he says, you know what? I can't remember. I have a hard time remembering these days. My family teased me about it before COVID, and now they have a privilege to tease me all the more about the fact that I am forgetful. And one of my big struggles right now is I start a statement, and then I have to say, I'll get back to you. I can't remember what I was going to say. It's a difficulty for me right now, this whole idea. Some of you are being acknowledged. I see wives elbowing husbands and others nodding. You're just like that. I'm like that. We forget. We're forgetful folks. Here Jeremiah says, you know what I haven't been able to remember or experience for a long time? Happiness. Happiness. You know what happiness conveys in the original? Happiness. It's a concept that God wants us to know and experience. It's related to joy, no doubt, which we were reminded of this very morning. The eternal joy that we can celebrate. And Jeremiah, in his authenticity and honesty, says, it's been a long time since I could say I'm happy. I have forgotten happiness. Can we relate to that at all? It's staggering to consider the reality of struggles with mental health and anxiety these days. The circumstances and the consequences of all that we've experienced as a people and nation and world over the last couple of years. The lack of joy and the lack of happiness. But just like peace, we too as believers know that we are promised and we receive this reality of the abundant life now that we can enjoy looking forward to glory forever, and we can and should have joy and happiness in the midst of it, which often boils down to a choice. So as we see what was missing or absent in the life of Jeremiah, we as believers can say we can and do have those things from our great God and through our Savior, the Lord Jesus. The first was what? That he says my soul's been rejected from? I forget. What was the first? Peace. Thank you for coming. What's the second? Happiness. I have forgotten happiness. And then he says this, verse 18. So I say, my strength has perished. Anybody been there the last couple of years where you physically just do not have it? Where you feel like you lack any kind of strength, any kind of energy, any kind of endurance, that you are just overwhelmed by it all. Jeremiah could say the same. Isaiah could say the same. Prophets of old and those in the New Testament as well can express this need for us to hang in there, to endure, to persevere, even though we get so weary and tired. I'm attempting not to say too much about my circumstances. Homiletically, we were trained. It's never about you, so don't focus too much on yourself. And so I'm purposing to do that. But practically, to bring comfort as well, we're trying to weave in some of these things. And I recall, Katie does as well, where I had zero strength. We were reminiscing of my trip home from Paducah after being in the hospital for 3 weeks, and I had to stop every couple of hours I was instructed to in order to try to move. so blood clotting would not be a concern or issue. So we'd stop every 2 or 3 hours at a rest stop, and I would get out with my oxygen on. I had the most I could leave the hospital with, 6 liters, and I had a walker, and we would try to walk from one yellow line of a parking space to another one. One parking space. And it exhausted me with 6 liters of oxygen. And so I'd have to sit down and catch my breath in order for me to turn the oxygen down as I was seated again in the car. I've never experienced being so weak and without strength. And yet Isaiah promises us that strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Again, see the pattern. When Jeremiah says, I'm without peace, I've forgotten happiness, I do not have strength, we can be reminded that these things and more, we are promised from our great God. And we have ultimately through his Son, the Lord Jesus. So I say, verse 18, my strength has perished. And then he says, finally, in summary, and so has my hope. So has my hope. It's perished. I don't know where it is. I can't find it. It's missing. Who says that? The weeping prophet. The one who not only shares with us his prophetic ministry, but also his personal struggle. Right now, life is so hard, I do not have hope, Jeremiah says. And like Jeremiah, who received promise after promise after promise, when he was called of God in chapter 1 and throughout his prophetic ministry, he knew he had every reason to be hopeful. Just like we as believers in Christ know that we have a blessed hope. We don't define the word hope like the world does with some sort of uncertainty. I hope it's not too hot this week. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope the Cubs win. There's all kinds of uncertainty with those statements. But for a believer, there is absolute certainty when it comes to our blessed hope, a hope that will not and does not disappoint, now and to come. And so four things that Jeremiah honestly, in his authenticity, as he shares with us his personal struggle, says, I am so discouraged. Life is hard and might not get easier, and I just do not have peace, happiness, strength, and hope. What do we do when life is hard and might not get easier? How do we respond biblically to these circumstances? I'm so thankful today, aren't you, that we have instruction from God's word, an example of those who dealt with the same sort of thing. Far worse in many circumstances, especially when we consider what our Savior endured. Jeremiah wasn't quite done. Formally, the lament concludes in verse 18, but he continues and he says, remember. The word remember or recall is mentioned here a couple of times. Again, when we study the Bible, it's important to highlight, notice, identify repetition. And so I mentioned that about the word soul, also about the word remember. Much of this has to do with our thinking, friends. My children would tell you, I have a couple phrases that I've been pounding lately that they might be tired of me saying, but I will not stop. One of those is this, taken from this text and others, that we must think right to live right. We must think right to live right. And we notice that Jeremiah is sharing us really what was happening in his brain, what he was thinking as he was dealing with the realities of heartache and difficult circumstances. He evidences that in verse 19 when he says, remember. Remember what? Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. We don't use that language. I'm not sure the last time I used similar language. But he is saying to us, loosely paraphrased, remember how difficult and hard my struggling and suffering has been. The wormwood and the bitterness, my affliction and my wandering. Surely my, what does it say next in verse 20? Surely my soul, there's the second time the word soul is used in our text today. My very person and being, my intellect, how I think, my emotion, how I feel, my volition, what I then for therefore choose. Intellect, emotion, will, my entire soul and being, he says, remembers. There's the word remember again. Remember, beginning in verse 19. Surely my soul remembers in verse 20. And he says, I am so discouraged. I am so down. It would be very appropriate for Jeremiah to say, I am so depressed. Have you struggled with any of those things? It's amazing how grand that struggle is today. Don't make light of it and don't overlook it because it is a reality for many. The fact that their souls are bowed down within them. Jeremiah is so honest with us, and he says, this is so stinking hard. I can't even begin to tell you. My soul is bowed down within me. I'm so discouraged. Have you been there of late? Let me just remind you of this encouragement this morning. Life is hard. And it might not get easier. So we must think right to live right. How do we respond biblically to these difficult days? Verse 21 is the principle that I'd love for us to walk away with this very morning. The principle, the answer to the question, how do we respond biblically to the difficulties of life? When life is hard and might not get easier, what do? We do exactly what Jeremiah did. Notice what he says in verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Remember, we have to think right to live right. This is what I remember. This is what, I love this word, the word recollect. This is what I recollect. This is what I've known in the past. This is what I've been told in the past. This is what I know to be absolutely true of my great God, who he is and what he's like and what he's promised. So I have to, in verse 21, he says, I have to think right. At our assembly in Dubuque, Arbor Oaks Bible Chapel, we're just beginning a Foundations of Faith series on Wednesday night, a survey of Bible doctrine. And this coming week, J.J. Routley, some of you know J.J., he began the series last Wednesday, and he'll look at this coming Wednesday the doctrine known as theology proper. Theology proper. And maybe we don't use that language, but let me just share with you practically. That's what Jeremiah does here. He goes theology proper on us. Theology proper is the considerations of the arguments and existence for God and the characteristics and attributes of God, who God is and what he is like. And so you know what Jeremiah has to do in the midst of such heartache and difficulty? He has to think right, to live right. And so he says, this is what I bring to my mind. This is what I remember. This is what I recall. This is what I recollect. And then he goes on to say, notice it with me, therefore I have hope. What did he say about hope previously? Where is it? I'm missing it. Circumstances are so overwhelming, I can't see it, feel it, experience it. Same is true for my strength and happiness and peace. They're gone. But he does something uniquely and specifically in verse 21 that teaches us how to respond. He remembers. He remembers. Have any of you ever seen The Lion King? Heard of The Lion King? A few of you moved, so I appreciate the moving. It shows that you're still with us. There was a particular scene in The Lion King where the main character, Simba, was having a time of reflection, literally and mentally, a pool of water where he sees a reflection of his father. His father's name was what? I have no idea. I can't remember. Mufasa, that's right. Thank you for coming today. Here is Mufasa, and then this wise counselor who does not base his counsel upon the word of God, nor does he have a Christian worldview, Rafiki. He encouraged Simba to just take some time to reflect and ponder. And so he, in his mind's eye, pictures his father in the reflection of the water, and we can hear his father's voice. And what does his father's voice say in the movie? I know some of you have seen it. Some of you have probably seen it performed dramatically in Nashville or even in New York on Broadway. What did his father say to his son, Simba, in very James Earl Jones voice? What did he say? Does anybody remember? Oh, that's the word. He says, Simba, remember. Remember. It sounds very Darth Vader-like, doesn't it? Same voice. By the way, not the voice on Arby's commercials. It's a different voice. You might be confused about that. That was just free and extra. Remember, remember. This week I'll do some motions with the teenagers. Key words or words for each message and a motion that goes along with it to help them do this very thing. Remember. Jeremiah had to do that. This I recall. This I recollect. This I remember. I remember who God is. I remember what he's like. I remember what he promised. I'm going to ask you, it's not noon. You knew that, right? But I'm going to ask you just before noon, do you have a favorite theology proper go-to passage or promise? Something that God has said about himself or something that God has promised. There's your homework. Today, I dare you to tell somebody your go-to promise, your go-to passage. When you go theology proper and think about who God is and what he is like, what he has said and what he has promised to us in his word, where do you go? You know what Jeremiah says? Let me just give you a list. This is not his exhaustive list. It's just the things that came to his mind in the midst of the struggle. This is what he remembered. This is what he recalled. And then he could say, therefore, we always ask what question? What is the therefore, therefore? Because I'm thinking right, then I have this as a result. Therefore, I have hope. We have to think right to live right. And Jeremiah demonstrates that to us. He was in the midst of it and says, I have to remember. I have to recall. I have to recollect. And here's what I remembered. It's like he's saying that as we're closing this morning, soon to be the afternoon. It's as if he was saying, you want to know what I remembered? You want to know what I recalled? You want to know what I brought to my mind? What I recollected from the past that I'm now thinking about? And as a result, my thinking is right, so I can now live right. Here's what comes to mind. He says in verse 22, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. Loving kindnesses, maybe you have mercies there. It's this idea of loyal love. It's the concept of hesed or hesed, loyal love that describes who our God is, that he loves us always and faithfully, regardless of us. what we do or do not do. His love is loyal. And so he says, you know what I remember in the midst of it? That his loving kindnesses, his loyal love, his mercies, you know what are true about them? They don't stop. Don't you love that? A couple of times he uses the word never here. Indeed, his loving kindnesses never stop, never cease. For his compassions, guess what is true about them? The word never again. They never fail. His mercies don't stop. His compassions don't fail. Never, never, ever. Isn't that encouraging in the midst of it? Let me tell you this. There was a time where I could not think clearly during my battle with COVID. There was a time where I don't remember anything. And Katie can attest to that. She was there all along the way. And uniquely, very uniquely, the hospital would call Katie at the hotel and say, come and help your husband. He's struggling greatly. And as I began to consider recovery as a possibility, I had a very difficult time resting. Had a very difficult time at night especially. And so this is what I did. I had my phone, and I had on Marco Polo, actually, a couple of my dear friends record the reading of Scripture. Promise after promise, truth after truth, that I had to hear, I had to think right in order to live right. And so night after night, for weeks, I'd place my phone on my chest and listen to God's word being read by my brothers in Christ, or listen to it being sung by many who sang well God's truth through hymns or songs based upon God's truth. Ask Katie sometime about her Kentucky playlist. She had to do the same thing. Cling to who God is and what he is like and what he has said and what he has promised. I promise you this, we must do that, period. Regardless of the circumstances of life. And Jeremiah shows that. And he says, here's what I remembered. Here's what I recall. He continues, by the way. They are new every morning. What are new every morning? His loving kindnesses that indeed never cease, and his mercies are new every morning. Did you know today we have new mercy? Tomorrow we're going to have new mercy. There's a song by a group called Shane and Shane, simply declares his mercy is more. His mercy is more. New mercies today. He says and declares, great is thy faithfulness. We sing that hymn. Sometimes we sing that hymn when things are rosy and when it's Thanksgiving and we want to celebrate all his bountiful care and blessing. And that's appropriate and right. But the concept of that, these lyrics are from a time that was incredibly difficult, where he says, you know what? His faithfulness is great. He can be nothing but faithful. He is Semper Fi, always faithful. His faithfulness is great. The Lord is my portion. That word portion, you know what it connects to? The concept of being without strength, which he said earlier. And now he says, when I was without strength, he was and is my strength. Strength will rise. It's the great exchange of Isaiah chapter 40. When we do not have strength, we exchange our inability and our inadequacy, and he gives us what we need. Strength and mercy and grace and help right when we need it. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Concludes in verse 24, as I am, Therefore, what is the therefore, therefore? Because of who God is and what he's like, theology proper, he says it again. Therefore, I have hope in him. Did you notice soul again in verse 24? I failed to mention that, I think. There it is again. Three times at least. Therefore, I have hope in him. You have homework today. And I want to encourage you to pause and think about what it is that you recall, what it is that you recollect, what it is that you remember about who God is and what he is like, what is he has promised and what he has done. When we do what Jeremiah did, when we think right to live right, what comes to mind? Is it this list? Is it another passage? I wish I had weeks to share with you all the passages that the Lord used to comfort and encourage me in the midst of it. But your homework is to think of your list. And here's the additional part. Tell somebody. What passage, what promise do you recall, recollect, bring to mind that has brought you great hope? My personal one, in addition to this passage, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's the comfort passage where the word comfort is used over and over and over again. But Paul says in that we are to bless it. Bless God. Blessed be our God. Blessed be our God. May he be adored. It's the highest veneration of praise in verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And then Paul does what Jeremiah did and what Isaiah does. He says, here's who God is. Here's what he's like. He's the Father of mercies. Meaning two things. Mercy is found and sourced in him, and he is merciful himself. He is the Father of mercies, and then he is the God of all, what does it say? Comfort. That has been such an encouragement to me. That's my homework demonstrated in front of you. That's one of the passages I recall, recollect, and therefore I have hope. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2 and following. You know the word comfort there? It's the same word that we use for advocate, the idea or form of the word paraclete in the original language. You know what it means? It means a go-between. And that word advocate or comforter is used of the Father, it's used of the Son, it's used of the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Godhead are on the job. They want to help us. Isn't that great? That's so great. God the Father is described that way. The Son is described that way. And the Holy Spirit is described that way. And it's not just a cognitive word. It means to actively come alongside, to lift up and assist one in need. The Trinity wants to help us. And God is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Father, more could be said, and I wish we could say more, but we pause and just say thank you for who you are and what you are like. We thank you that we can and must go theology proper in our minds and hearts. We need to remember, we need to recollect, we need to recall who you are and what you are like, what you have promised and what you have said. And so may we, in the midst of it, small or great, in the midst of the struggle, may we think right to live right. May we recall and recollect. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that because of and through you and your Son, the Lord Jesus, we, regardless of circumstances, can know and experience now and in glory peace, happiness, strength, and hope. We thank you that those things are found and offered and promised in and through you. And that even though we're in the last days, we can experience those things based upon thinking right to live right, and we can look forward to those days. Because for us as believers, the best is yet to come. Father, for those who are here today tuning in and have not trusted in Christ, may they realize this is as good as it's going to get for them. And so they desperately need to trust in your Son, the one who gives eternal life, the one who gives peace, the one who gives happiness and joy, strength and hope. Thanks for being so infinite in your benevolence, God. We thank you for your generosity toward us, and that regardless of the heartache and difficulty, we can trust you fully. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are truly blessed, finding as you promised, perfect peace and rest. Help us to think right, to live right, and to remember. In Jesus' name, amen.